This is 99% Invisible. I'm Roman Mars. At the end of World War II, as the world began to process the powerful and devastating effects of the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, humankind entered a new era, an era defined by the destructive potential of nuclear weapons.
Let us face, without panic, the reality of our times, the fact that atom bombs may someday be dropped on our cities.
And while the violent applications of atomic research had already been proven, governments and scientists suspected atomic science also held promise for good. Peaceful applications that could bring the world into a new age of scientific progress and technology.
It is not enough to take this weapon out of the hands of the soldier. It must be put into the hands of those who will know how to strip its military casing and adapt it to the arts of peace.
That's President Dwight Eisenhower addressing the UN in a 1953 speech titled Atoms for Peace. In it, he proposes creating an agency to oversee and promote safe, secure, and peaceful nuclear technologies, while also continuing to build up the United States' arsenal of nuclear weapons.
Experts would be mobilized to apply atomic energy to the needs of agriculture, medicine, and other peaceful activities.
These efforts to find peaceful applications for nuclear research would spur growth in nuclear energy, which now provides around a fifth of the United States' electricity, and expand the use of nuclear medicine, giving us imaging techniques and therapies still used for cancer treatments today.
That's our own Sharif Youssef.
But then there were ideas that seem kind of crazy in hindsight. One science writer thought nuclear alchemy was possible, that we would have nuclear factories that manufactured gold. And others believed we could shower plants in ionizing radiation to mutate them into better, stronger crops.
But unlike the others, that one actually happened.
When I ran across it, I was just kind of gobsmacked. You know, I was just stunned.
That's Paige Johnson.
I'm a chemist and material scientist. I have a hobby of the history of gardens.
Johnson is one of the few experts on the often forgotten atomic gardens of the 1950s and 60s. Gardens that used radioactive materials in attempts to mutate and breed new plants that would benefit mankind.
People kind of assume it was some sort of a conspiracy. And actually it wasn't. It was widely talked about in speeches. It was written about in popular magazines.
Atomic gardens have been largely forgotten, but they weren't top-secret government projects purposely obscured from us. They were right out in the open, and they produced new kinds of fruits and grains and vegetables that we still have on our grocery store shelves today.
The atomic gardens of the 1950s and 60s were part of a broader interest in atomic research that ramped up during and after World War II, but they were also part of a much older quest to breed better, hardier crops.
Humans have been messing with plants to suit our needs for a long time. But to understand the history of using radiation to mutate plants, we need to take a step back to the 1920s and a relatively new technology of the time. X-rays.
In 1927, Hermann Muller conducted a famous genetics experiment where he exposed fruit flies to X-rays, a form of ionizing radiation.
So basically, ionizing radiation is just any form of electromagnetic radiation that has the power to penetrate matter. So it has the ability to potentially go inside the cell and actually alter the genetic material.
The X-rays changed the genetic makeup of some of the fruit flies, and some of those changes, those mutations, were heritable, meaning that they could be passed along to the next generation.
In the 1920s and 30s, some plant breeders started using X-rays on plants in hopes that they could induce mutations that could make them grow faster or produce more fruit or create interesting flowers.
One of the most fascinating examples of this research was happening at Brookhaven National Labs.
So the Gamma Gardens at Brookhaven in New York were probably the largest gardens in the U.S. governmental effort devoted to atomic radiation of plants.
The Brookhaven Gamma Garden was created in 1949, and its original goal was to study the effects of prolonged exposure to gamma rays on plants. But eventually, they began to research whether they can use gamma gardens to induce beneficial mutations.
The essence of a gamma garden is it looks like a big circle with pie-shaped wedges, and at the very center of the pie is a radioactive source that was usually contained in a pole and would be raised above the level of the ground.
to call them gardens actually makes them sound smaller than they were.
Many of these gamma gardens were 5 acres in size, so they were really massive installations.
And because of the wedges, when viewed from above,
it almost looks like the symbol for radiation danger.
The center pole contained a radioactive isotope that would shower the field with gamma radiation for about 20 hours a day. They were hoping to create crops that could withstand harsh growing conditions, that were more resistant to disease, that could produce more food to help feed the world.
I was struck again by just what a utopian quest it was to kind of rebuild plants and end world famine and make the world, they even use this language, a smiling Garden of Eden.
And this quest wasn't just taking place in the US. Japan has an institute that uses a radiation field very similar to the Brookhaven Gamma Gardens. And the International Atomic Energy Association and the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations have a joint plant breeding team, still conducting research with radiation today.
And there are still varieties of plants in our food system that came about from radiation experiments. Varieties of rice throughout Asia, certain pears in Japan, and a breed of sunflower in the US, just to name a few.
Also, the Riostar grapefruit came about because of radiation breeding experiments and now accounts for about 75% of the grapefruit grown in Texas. Our producer, Delaney Hall, used to live in Texas and can confirm that it is delicious.
Yeah, I can confirm that it is delicious.
Some historians believe that the Atoms for Peace movement was a cover, Eisenhower's way to put a positive spin on atomic research while the U.S. expanded its arsenal of nuclear weapons. He wanted us to keep pursuing nuclear technology even if it scared us, because the Soviets were certainly pursuing it, and that was even scarier at the time.
But this march toward mutually assured destruction would leave us with other world-changing non-military innovations too, like nuclear power and, of course, the unarguably delicious Riostar grapefruit. 99% Invisible is Delaney Hall, Kurt Kohlstedt, Katie Mingle, Sharif Youssef, Avery Truffleman, Emmett Fitzgerald, Taryn Mazza, Sean Rial, and me, Roman Mars. Edited for radio by J.C. Howard. We are a project of 91.7 KALW. Find out more at 99pi.org.